We will actually, we will read two verses, but we're really just looking at one. That's verse 16 and 17. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Out of respect for the word of God, would you please stand as we read 2 Timothy chapter 3. The word of God, let us hear it together. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you for standing. Let's pray together again. Our Father, indeed, you are our light and our life. And we come to you based upon what Jesus Christ has accomplished on our behalf. We come, our Father, expecting you to meet with us. Lord, grant us light, grant us power. Give us help from above. Help us to hear your word because it's your word. Be kind to us again this evening. Oh God, please, please exalt Jesus Christ. Build up your people. Lord, chisel us into his likeness, Lord. Beautify your body here. We constantly, we desperately need you. Come by great power, we pray. Do a great work, we cry, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, God has preserved for us his holy word so that we may know him. So that we may pray to him, that we may sing to him, that we may read of him, and that we may hear from him. The scriptures are given to us to encourage us, convict us, correct us, and instruct us. It helps us to see things in their true colors. Points out error by showing us the truth. We need scripture, all of scripture. And so Paul's second letter to Timothy, his beloved son in the faith, is sent as an encouragement and as a warning. So we want to first look at the backdrop to this portion as we zero in on verse 16. Paul closes, he's coming to the close of his life, his last days. He encourages Timothy to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, chapter 2, verse 1. And he reminds Timothy that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Paul also warns Timothy that perilous times, trouble times, hard times, dangerous times are coming. And since dangerous times are coming, Timothy can't operate in the spirit of fear. He reminds Timothy that men will be self-lovers and money lovers. They will be boasters, braggarts, proud, arrogant, blasphemers, speaking against the things of God. Not a whole lot has changed. Disobedient to parents. Not a whole lot has changed. It's rare to find actually young people that are just respectful to older people at all in our day. Unthankful, ungracious, unholy, just wicked. Timothy, you have to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus because dangerous times are coming. Without natural affection, truce breakers. Oh, they won't hold a treaty. The mind happens to change before the ink is dried on the paper. False accusers, just a bunch of liars, incontinent, without self-control. This is coming in Timothy's day. As a nation, we are out of control. Fierce. The fierce Timothy despises of those that are good or despises of that which is good. They betray you and heady, Timothy, they think a whole lot of themselves. They're high-minded. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And he says these penetrating words. Having a form of godliness. Timothy, you will even find them right there in the church. They have this outward shell of godliness, but nothing else. Yeah, got a Bible, Timothy. Sing a few hymns, Timothy. They pray a little bit, Timothy. But there is no power. Deny, refuse, reject the power thereof. Timothy, from such, turn away. Avoid. Avoid. As Paul lays out the trouble that will come. Remember, Paul is about to die. Timothy, I need you to be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Then he reminds them, reminds him. Remember my manner of life, Timothy. Remember my conduct, my doctrine, my purpose, my faith. I held to the truth, my patience, my charity, the persecutions and afflictions. And Timothy, here's a word of encouragement. The Lord delivered me out of them all. But I want you to know that everyone in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Those who are living godly and seducers will come deceiving, leading others away and being led away themselves. But continue. I am leaving, but you continue. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Timothy, you learned them from me. Continue. Continue. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. And it brings him to this point. All scripture. All scripture. Society, Timothy, the culture will shift. But you stay rooted in the word of God. Stay rooted. Then he tells them here, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. First, he says, all scripture. Not a part, not just a little piece, not just certain sections. All scripture. All scripture. All as a whole. The whole body of scripture is given primarily. He's talking about the Old Testament because that's what it had. But Paul's writing is also scripture. It's also scripture. So it would include the whole compass of both Old and New Testament, all scripture. All of the writings, Timothy, from the prophets up to the present. All of Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So from the outset, he tells us the origin of the Scriptures. No one just sat down one day and said, you know what? I think we should write a religious book. Let's just write a holy book. No. All of the writings, all of the Scriptures, verbal that came from the prophets, or written, which was then brought to writing, all of Scripture, Timothy, is given by inspiration of God. The very origin of the Scriptures come from God. The totality of the Scripture, the every facet of the Scriptures come from God. Therefore, since it comes from God, it's authoritative. It has the weight of authority with it. It's given by inspiration of God. We can actually say it this way, because the word given is actually an adjective. And so it's describing or modifying Scripture. We can say all given Scripture is from God. That's what Paul is saying. And the Scripture given, since it's from God, it's also divine. Not only authoritative, but divine. In the word inspiration, breathe, or God breathe. Now there's, sometimes don't do this, but I'm going to do it this evening. There are those who would say, well, you know, the authorized version, we shouldn't have the word inspired, because, you know, inspired, you know, in means in, inspired means, you know, breathe. So he's not breathing in and so forth. The word is being breathed out, so it should be expired and so on and so forth. I'll tell you why I think the authorized versions, translators use the word. The word inspiration can also mean moved upon. It can mean blow into as well. So, and we have this concept really in 2 Peter. Listen to 2 Peter. Peter says these words, knowing this, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Didn't sit down and say, we're just going to put this thing together. But holy men of God spake as they were moved, borne along, carried about. Remember, inspiration can mean moved upon. Holy men was carried about or moved about by the Holy Ghost. So the translators was right when they put inspiration of God. They understood that it's communicated by God. God breathed. God moving upon. Or if we want to say, just to keep in line with modern scholarship, if they want to say, you know, it was breathed out by God, we can say it this way. Well, if it means breathed out or blown out, inspiration can mean blown into, then God would blow into these men, moving them along. Same thing. So it's given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. We have a God-breathed book. It's God's book. And all of it is God-breathed. Not just a certain portion of it. We can't say we got the New Testament and cast out the old. We can't say we have the old and cast out the new. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, or even from God. The Scriptures has its root in God and is therefore a supernatural book. But God didn't just kind of, you know, come with an airplane and just drop it out of heaven. It was done through men. We have the writings of somewhere around 40 men covering over a period of almost 1600 years on three different continents. Yes, it's a supernatural book. It's a divine book. It's a historical book. Did you know that the Bible is a top seller? Do you know that? Somewhere around 160,000 copies, sold a day. We look around, we can't tell, can we? 168,000 copies sold a day. It's not just simply a book among many books. The Bible is the book that tells us clearly who the creator of heaven and earth is, who we are, and what he demands from us. There have been more books written about the Bible than any other book in history. It is the most quoted book by believers and non-believers. There has been more talk about the Bible than any other book in history. But notice something it says in verse 16. All of Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Notice, it did not say given by inspiration to God. The Scriptures are from God to us. To us. We can consider that a great gift, a great mercy. It comes to us. Paul puts it this way. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, I guess he's talking about the scripture, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. It's given to us, from God. See, if we don't realize that the word of God came from God, then we have no standard. We have no authority. We really have no hope. And that's one of the things that's really being taught right now. And the Bible is just like any other book. The Bible is not like any other book. So that's the origin of the scripture. It comes from God to us. And one of the reasons God gave the scriptures to us so that we may know Jesus. Jesus says these words, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life." Search the scriptures, and in them you think you have eternal life. Talking to the Pharisees or the religious leaders in his day. And the scriptures, they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Jesus says in the clearest terms that the scriptures are pointers. When you search the scriptures, they are pointing to me. They are kind of like a picture, you know. You see the picture, but you want the real thing. It points to the real thing. The scriptures are about me, and you will not come to me that you may have life. It's the driver to drive us to Jesus. That's what the scriptures does or do. Again, in Luke, he says unto them, and he said unto them, that was John 5:39, and he says unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written where? Scriptures, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then open he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. The Scriptures. He said, if you take Moses, you take the Psalms, you take the prophets, you take the totality of the Old Testament, it's talking about me. I'm the central theme of it. Again, Jesus says of himself, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears have thou opened, burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It can mean the roll, the writing of the book. It is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. The Scriptures were given so we can know who Jesus is. I delight to do your will. Your law is written in my heart. Animal sacrifice can't take away man's sin. A body you have prepared for me. God has recorded for us through the prophets and his holy apostle, his mind that we may know him. We would never know of a saving Christ apart from the Scriptures. We have this thing that we call general revelation or natural revelation, and we can look at it, and we can draw some things from it. We can look at revelation itself in a general sense and say, you know what? Whoever put this thing called the universe together is wise. We can draw that, so we can get God's wisdom from that. And we can also draw and say, whoever put this thing together has all power. We can draw that. And whoever put this thing together, we can't see him, so he's invisible. We can draw that. But we can't draw a Savior from creation. You can't do it. You can't say, there's someone out there put this thing together that's going to shed his blood for me and be my son. You can't draw that from creation. Can't get it. We have to get it from the Scriptures. And that's why the Scriptures are absolutely important. We got to have the Scriptures. Where would we be without the Scriptures? We wouldn't know of eternal love. We wouldn't know of the Spirit that breaks the power of sin, who we are, what God is making us to be without the Scriptures. We know about the marriage supper of the Lamb without the Scriptures. The world tells us of the sweetness of this Savior, the sacrificial giving of this Savior on our behalf. And that's why when you read Matthew's gospel, as Brother Jeff has been working through, that it might be fulfilled. Fulfilled where? In the Scriptures. We would not know who Jesus is and what he has accomplished apart from the Scriptures. Paul tells the Corinthians, for I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to, you know, something we thought up. No, according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried. You ever wonder why he put that in there? If he died, that he was buried. But he wants us to know that Jesus truly died. He was buried. Buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul holds the Scriptures to be true, reliable, sufficient. The Scriptures can address all aspects of life. We have everything we need in the Word of God. Everything. I don't know what else we could look for. God has given us the Scriptures. The Scriptures. We need nothing else. So the Scriptures are designed so that we would know Jesus Christ. We would know God's glorious plan of salvation. We would know the coming of his Son to ransom sinners. We would know something of our own corruption and our desperate need of a Savior. But we can't know that apart from the Scriptures. Apart from the Scriptures. We won't know about the fall of man, Genesis chapter 3. We wouldn't know about the redemption that would come to man. We wouldn't know about the unfolding, the unpacking of God's glorious salvation. And as we look at the human race from Genesis all the way to Revelation, you know anything about that glorious Savior from the script, apart from the Scriptures? And you see failure after failure after failure after failure. We have the beloved Abraham, and then he fails, and we say he can't be the one. God will preserve a people constantly over and over and over again. At times, it would look like Israel would be wiped out, and God would show up and preserve them because he's bringing the Savior. We have to have the Savior, but we have to have the Scriptures in order to know about the Savior. Well, there's something else about the Scripture. Not only does it point us to Jesus Christ, it's divine, as we said before. The Scriptures come from God, therefore it's divine. It has the imprint of deity all over it. Also, the Scriptures are good. It's good. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, listen, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. The Scriptures are good. It's not a lie. It's truth. Now, lies are in the Bible, but they're true lies. They're true lies, because the Bible is a book of truth. It's truth. It came from the God of truth. The Scriptures are also holy, not only divine, supernatural, good, pointing us to Jesus Christ. It's also holy. Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets. Where? In the Holy Scriptures. See, everything points back to the Scriptures. The Scriptures. We got to have the Scriptures. We just can't sleep on the Bible at night and think that's going to jump in our head. It doesn't work that way. I wish it worked that way. I know a whole lot of Scriptures if it did. Doesn't work that way. We have to get in the Scriptures. If just sleeping on it would put all the Scriptures in our head, listen, I'll sleep on it every chance I get. But it doesn't work that way. The Scriptures are holy. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord, listen, is pure, enlightening the eyes. It's holy. There's no fault with the Word of God. We come to it and say, you know, I'm just kind of dry and so forth and so on, man. It's not the Word of God. It's us. It's not the Word of God. The Word of God also is alive. It's steady. It's holy. It's good. It's divine. It's alive. Listen what the Hebrew writer says. For the word of God is quick, alive. The word quick means alive and powerful, active, energetic. It's effective. In other words, the word of God causes something to happen. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts. That two-edged sword was used to cut and kill in the fillet. He said the word of God is sharper than that. It goes in and it cuts. Piercing or penetrating. Penetrating even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner, a judge of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's what the word does. It's like a mirror. When it's shown, you know, you could be speaking the word and you don't know exactly what's going on with this person or that person, and all of a sudden they say, you were talking about me. No, the word was doing it. It's a discerner. It's a judge. It can go places that human eyes can't see, deep into the recesses of a man's soul. It is the power of the word. It's the penetrating word. It cuts in and cuts down and cuts deep. It's a spotlight. It shines. Oh, you ever read it? Just shine on you. Shine on that thing you thought you had worked out. or shine on that thing you didn't even know what, that was there. It's a powerful word, an effective word. It works on men, women, and even children. Even children. Give account. A pastor I know just was sharing with me yesterday, preached the message, your name in the book. And a little girl came afterward crying to her daddy. He painted in such a way, him crying to her daddy, "Daddy, I don't want to go to hell. I want my name in the book." The word coming in power. And power. Who would ever thought? Just a little girl. "Daddy, I want my name. I want to know my name in the book. I want my name in the book." Which he was talking about, the book of life. Coming in power. The dad came to him and said, "I'll be forever grateful. Thank you for preaching that message when my daughter got to hear it." It's a powerful word. It shows a person what he really is like. That's what the word does. It was said of Martin Luther, the reformer. "Well, you know, Martin, you've stirred up a lot of stuff pertaining to the papacy. Man, you've done it, Martin." He said, "I did nothing." Listen to him. "I simply taught the word and preached the word and wrote the words." He translated it into German. "Taught the word, preached the word, and wrote the word. Other than that, I did nothing. Martin did nothing." "I simply preached the word. And then while I slept," he said, "I preached it, I taught it, and I went to bed. And while I slept, the word so greatly weakened the papacy that never a prince or emperor did such damage to it. I did nothing. The word did it all." The word of God is the greatest, most necessary, and most important thing in Christendom. "I did nothing. I left it to the word." He said, "I just simply preached the word. That's all I did. I did nothing." The word is alive and active. Well, there's something else about this word. It ought to be read publicly. The scriptures ought to be read publicly. Listen to Paul. Paul says to the church at Thessalonica, "I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren." It's to be read publicly. We need not be ashamed of the reading of the word of God, because it is, again, the word of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:27. Well, next, the scriptures, not only to be read publicly, the scriptures are to be preached. Are to be preached. Paul, after giving this charge to Timothy concerning the sufficiency of scripture, that it's sufficient, all of scripture, Timothy, not just part of it, all of it, Paul himself in Acts chapter 20 told the Ephesian elders that "I preached the whole counsel of God. I kept nothing back from you. I preached it all." So the word is to be preached. And he tells Timothy in chapter 4 of the same epistle, "I charge thee, you, Timothy, before God in the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word." Preach the word. I have to tell you, that's some kind of charge. "Timothy, I'm on my way out, but I got a message of urgency to you. I want you to understand something, Timothy. You have one primary audience, and that's God. I charge you in the presence of God and the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming and his judgment that he will bring. You ought to preach, Timothy, even in light of judgment coming. And the charge to you, Timothy, is this: preach the word." That's the charge. The scriptures are to be preached. Well, next, the scriptures are to be received. Not only read publicly and preached publicly, but it ought to be received. James says, wherefore lay apart, put off, put away all filthiness, all immoral behavior and superfluity of naughtiness, this overabundance of just wicked behavior. Put it off and receive, that is, take in, get it. It is to be welcomed, received with meekness or gentleness, then grafted, the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. The word is to be received. James said, let's put away all the stuff. When we hear the word of God, we hear it read, we hear it preached, we ought to welcome the word. It ought to be received to everyone who hears it. Well, not only that, he tells him that this word is able to save your soul. It's the word. We got to have the word. I keep saying that because we're hearing we don't have to have the word. And it's a departure from the word. A serious departure from the word. But not only received, the scriptures are to be obeyed. James goes on to say in verse 22, I read verse 21 prior, verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. He said, when we hear the word preach, we ought to receive that word, but we are also to obey that word. Obey that word. And he said, if we don't, we just hear us, we just sit there and just getting in sermon after sermon, sermon after sermon, sermon after sermon, but do nothing. James said, we're deceived. We're deceived. Self-deception. Well, listen to our Lord himself. Jesus said this. We're fastly running out of time. Jesus said, after being accused of casting out devils in the name of Beelzebub, and after Jesus would paint an illustration by first telling, I cast out devils by the finger of God. And then he gives this illustration of a wicked spirit leaving, a demon leaving a man and finding no resting place. And then he returns. And when he returns, he finds that the man, oh, you know, he's all cleaned up. He's went cold turkey. You know, he's turned over, quote, a new leaf, whatever that is. He has it all garnished up. Everything looks good on the outside, but there's nothing in the inside. And that demon goes in with seven more demons worse than himself. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And then after hearing these teaching, this is what happened. A lady said this. Excuse me. And it came to pass, as he, Christ, spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. The word, the scriptures are to be obeyed. Not just hearing, keeping it, owning it and walking in it. Again, we can't sit back and hear sermon after sermon, turning on computer, iPhone or whatever, just listening to sermon after sermon, going from one conference to another, just listening to messages for information's sake. And we need information. You ought to be instructed, but we ought to be active in doing. In doing. The word is to be obeyed. Well, the word is to be prayed. David says, let thy mercy come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. It is to be prayed. Well, scriptures ought to be sung. James, our friend, says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. The psalms are what? Scripture. We pray the scriptures. We preach the scriptures. We hear the scriptures. We sing the scriptures. But we have to obey the scriptures as well. Well, Paul gives us another word. Not only is the scriptures, or are the scriptures, but inspired of God, he says they are profitable. This body of scripture is profitable. The word simply means beneficial or useful. It's fruitful. The scriptures is profitable or are profitable for, and here's what it's profitable for, doctrine. Doctrine. It's really to our advantage. The scripture, literally, it is good for us. It's for doctrine. We can't teach doctrine. No, the scripture is for doctrine, for teaching. The word of God is to be taught. We constantly need to be instructed, don't we? I know I do. It's precisely what Christ told the apostles and has given to the church also this great commission. Go ye therefore and teach doctrine, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. Again, obedient to the scripture. Obedience to the scripture. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Nothing to fear. I'm with you. Doctrine. Teach the word of God. Doctrine divide. Oh, it sure does. It sure does. Always will, too. But the Apostle Paul tells us it's healthy. It's profitable. The scriptures are so that we may teach doctrine. Not just some of them, all of them. The whole counsel of God. It's also, secondly, because we're running out of time. Secondly, not only profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Hear the word. Ready? The word exposes sin. Reproof. Shines in there. Exposes sin. That's the design of the word. It comes in conviction in the hands of the Spirit. Teaching, exposing. It's better than any MRI machine. It doesn't miss anything when it comes in. It's universal in its reproof. It meets us where we are for the purpose of bringing us to our senses. Reproof, exposing, filleting, laying us bare. That's what the scriptures does. That's why some people don't like reading it. Mark Twain said, it's not the things that I don't understand about the scripture that bothers me. It's the things that I do. It exposes. If it's, I don't play with God, man. When I open this, I see me. And since some of us don't want to see the real thing, we won't read it. Not only for reproof, it's good to be exposed now, but it says also for correction, the restoring, the amending. You see the pattern? Teach, expose, correct. To restore, to amend, to put us on track. We call that repentance. Turning from something to something. That's the design of Scripture. Set us in the right pathway. We need Scriptures, really. Scripture really to shape the way we think. Because if our thinking isn't changed, our living won't change. It's impossible. Can't separate your living from your thinking. How you think, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is what? He. How you think is how you will live. So what you read, hear me say this many times, I'm going to say it again. What you read, what you watch, what you listen to affects how you think. And how you think is how you will live. Scripture. We have to fill our minds with the Word of God. We need it. We need it. That didn't happen by osmosis. It corrects. Also, it's profitable for instruction. For instruction. All of Scripture is profitable for instruction. It trains in the way of maturity. That's the word instruction. It's the idea of a child being reared up and guided. See how the Scriptures kind of take us by the hand like children and guide us and lead us. That's the design of it. You know, sometimes we say, I want to know what God's will is. It tells us it right here. Scriptures. It's in the Scriptures. It's not secret. It's not going to be in your mailbox. You go to the mailbox. God, what is your will? It's right here in the Scriptures. In the Scriptures. It's not hidden from us. It's given to us. So that we may know the mind of God. The Scriptures instruct. Yes, it educates us. It schools us in the way of righteousness. Puts us in an upright path in a straight way. It is to fix our feet on a path that is solid and sturdy, a path that is lasting and hopeful, and a path that is narrow and straight, a path that is righteous and good. It is to put us in the way of heavenly blessings. It's the Scriptures. We are to think what is right, again, so that we could do what is right. We won't know what is right apart from the Scriptures. All of Scripture. Whether the word comes from the mouth of men or the pens of men, God says, I gave it, and therefore it is my word. We need the word also in our day-to-day warfare, don't we? Paul said, when you put on this armor, I want you to put on the helmet of salvation, but really that just to gird up your mind. And I want you to put on the breastplate of righteousness, and I want you to take that shield so you can ward off the darts of the wicked one, but you need an offensive weapon, and what is it? The Word of God, the Scriptures. That's what you got to have. He said, and the sword of the Spirit, notice, sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The word in the hand of the Spirit to be effective in our lives. We got to have it. Well, we will conclude. It is a book to be read. It is a book to be preached. It is a book to be sung and a book to be obeyed. A book to be prayed. We need the Scriptures, and it's a book wherein we see Jesus. We have to have the Scriptures. We dare not let anyone take it from us. It's children, the Scriptures. Read the Scriptures. We have to have the Scriptures because we have to have God. Let's pray together. Our Father, again, we do thank you for this glorious evening. We thank you for giving us your word, a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. Lord, continue to rest our minds upon the Scriptures. We need it, Lord. Please help us to hold the word of God dear to us. Father, help us to treasure it, to love it, to proclaim it, to read it, to hear it, to sing it, to pray it. Oh, Father, work in us to obey it. Hear us now, we cry in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand, and we will just read our passage again. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. Let's go in God's name.